reading Colossians first? Yes. The reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 16, which you can find on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. That's Colossians 3, 1 to 16, page 1184. Rules for Holy Living. Since, then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1. This can be found on page 1083 in the Church Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. This is the gospel of the Lord.
We remain standing now, and before I open that passage from Colossians for us this morning, we are going to sing number 548, O God Unseen, Yet Ever Near. Number 548. Father God, may the words I speak be those you want spoken, and may our hearts, our minds, our eyes and ears be open to you afresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. So Colossians, page number 184, if you wish to follow it in your Bibles. And as I've already alluded to, we are looking at Christ and day-to-day living. Now, Paul's teachings of Christ are never detached from real life. He doesn't purely teach us for knowledge purposes, that we may have more information in our brains, but that his teaching may be reflected in the behaviour of those who have heard it. And the passage today is speaking to the people in Colossae, revealing those particular issues of inappropriate sexual behaviour and that of inappropriate speech. Two huge areas that could be seen as continuing within our society today. I shall do what I want with my body, and I shall say whatever I like with my mouth. So often heard in today's society. We'll look a little bit more at those in a moment, but first I want to focus on what is happening when Christ impacts and comes into our day-to-day living. And in verse 9 it says, you have taken off your old self, and verse 10, and put on a new self. Taking off requires the taking off of the old self in order to put on the new self. Pretty radical. Who am I? Who I have been? Is that to be removed? Well, yes. in part those things which have ruled our old lives, those things which have driven us, which were of earthly nature, are to be taken off. Following Christ is a radical faith, and certainly was in those days of the early church. We only have to look at Jesus' ministry to see he wasn't backwards in coming forward to raise a challenge and make us have a look at what's going on and what needs to be changed. Now, I wonder how many of you remember the classic TV children's show, Mr. Ben. Do you remember that? Mr. Ben. I googled it the other day and thought, how did children sit for 15 minutes and just watch these they were just pictures that moved, and they had a picture after a picture after a picture. And there was Mr. Ben, who lived at number 52, and he'd go into the costume shop. He wore a top hat and a coat, and the shop was a place where adventures would begin. He would go into the changing room, change into an outfit of his choice, and then go through the door that led to this adventure. This goes on for, as I say, 15 minutes. Just a series of still drawn pictures. Can you imagine children today sitting and watching that? There, once he'd gone through that room, Mr. Ben often did good things. He did do good things, but when he changed into those other outfits, he'd put on something to go and partake in these activities. But when he comes back, he takes off the clothes and puts back his suit and his top hat and returns home. Mr. Ben changed his clothing to suit the good deed that he was doing. Now, I'm not casting any judgment on Mr. Ben. I'm sure he was a very good man when he went back home as well. But there's something about taking off the clothes, doing the good deed, putting back on his old clothes and going home that made me think about what it is when we are following Jesus. Do we compartmentalize those parts of our lives? Clothing oneself in Christ is intended to be permanent and expected to make an impact on every part of our lives, not just when we pop into the clothing shop and do a good deed. And as I said earlier about where is Jesus in our car? Is he there, right in the driving seat all the time? We must be careful too that we don't wear different outfits for different parts of our lives, for different occasions. And the taking off that Paul is talking about is far deeper than that it is that takes off the old ways and puts on the new ones. It's a radical change, a whole person change, a Christ-like change in our lives. First, Paul is insistent that they understand what it means to be a new person in Christ. The change isn't going to happen by purely human effort, but from understanding what it means to have a new life in Christ. We naturally all have perceptions of what we see on the outside in the lives of others from our life experiences. Rightly or wrongly, we make judgments of what we see. We are told not to judge, not to judge a book by its cover, aren't we? And today, as we look at this passage and how Christ impacts on our day-to-day living, be aware that this radical change begins within. The behaviour will come as an outpouring of that knowledge. But until we understand the depth of the gift God's given us, we will struggle to do any of the outside stuff on our own. Good people can run around doing good deeds for many, and this is commendable. But today we're looking at what Paul is saying about the setting of our hearts and our minds on Christ. The behaviour of the religious of the time meant meeting a set of rules and regulations, and practical outward things had to be taken care of and performed in order to be accepted. And Paul is challenging these outward actions. Now, many of us could follow a rule book, say, be able to follow an IKEA a kit list and put together a table or fix a table leg, but it wouldn't make us a carpenter, wouldn't it? Somebody who'd studied the complexities of the wood and had a feel for the material and creating something really beautiful. Religious activity isn't always a sign of an inward change, as we saw in the example of the Pharisees. And as I said earlier, Paul's aim in teaching was not purely to build up knowledge, but to make a difference in one's life, that it may then make a difference in the lives of others. So Paul says in verse 1, set your hearts on things above. In verse 2, set your minds on things above. And this isn't some airy, fairy, pie-in-the-sky kind of above, but to set your hearts and minds not on the earthly things, instead to set it on the place where Christ now is, seated at the right hand of the Father. And why is he there? Because he has taken his rightful seat back with his Father after coming to earth to die for us and for our sins, that we may be forgiven. He is there because he died for us. Set our hearts and minds on him who gave up his life for us. Is this too easily forgotten in the perceived list of rules and regulations that we feel we have to follow to be a good Christian? Paul is saying, first get this right. Seek daily the things that are above. So the first section of this passage today, right up to verse 8, looks at Christians' relationship with Christ. And the second, from verse 9, is the Christian and the church, the local church. If we don't get our relationship with God right first, we're going to struggle when it comes to our relationships with others. The rest of the chapter goes on to look at relationships with the family and with one's daily work. When we are in Christ, believers are also alive from the dead. The Colossians were freed from the religiosity of the time, knowing that the centre of their faith was in Christ and not in man-made regulations and rituals. Christ is the new centre, and he sat at the right hand of the Father. And complacency is never a place any follower of Christ should find themselves in. A daily seeking to draw closer and closer to the throne on which God is seated, that throne of grace. Christians have died to the old, and their new life is hidden with Christ in God. We talk about in baptism dying to the old and being raised to new life. It's the Spirit that now dwells and lives in us. But it's in the future when Christ comes again that we will appear with him in glory, the hope of the world to come. It's then that the glory of God will be revealed to all, and we wait now with expectant hearts and minds focused above to make a difference daily in our lives and the lives of those around us. Faith isn't a gift for us to keep in our hearts, but one we are to hold with gratitude and to share with others in the expectation that more and more people will come to know him. But without that being reflected in the way that we live, the church in Colossae also were going to struggle to spread the good news to others. Is there a place for sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed in heaven? Is there a place for anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language in heaven? No, there's not. These are not God-given attributes. These are not the way God intended us to live with one another. These are not acceptable in the eyes of God. And clearly they had found themselves into the church. They'd found a way into the church in Colossae. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have needed to address them. And as I said, unfortunately, they're a part of our world today. These are earthly desires of inappropriate sexual behaviour and inappropriate speech, and they need to be put to death. There's no mincing with words with Paul, is there? Death is the end. Death is the end for that which is evil. There's no place in eternity for them. In verse 6, we're told the wrath of God will come. There should be no place either for them in day-to-day living as a Christian. Take off that which has been before and clothe yourselves in the new way. So there we go. That's easy then, isn't it? Put it all behind you and you'll never find yourself a part of any of the list of things that Paul says are not of Christ. But we all know that there are times when anger slips in, that greed can take over. We're aware of the dangers of lustful thoughts and bad language. Or maybe you're already all there. Maybe come and see me after and tell me your secret if you have. But this certainly isn't a finger-pointing exercise at all. It's Christ that knows what's in our hearts. And it's Christ that we ask through his Holy Spirit to help us to grow daily in him. We may have been raised with Christ, done once and for all. Christ died, rose again, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is all and is in all, and he will work in and through us when we keep our eyes focused on him. There's no better way when we take off the old than to throw it away, dispose of it, get rid of it. As I said, at baptism, we die to sin and then we're raised to new life. There's a drowning in the water of baptism. There's no coming back from being drowned unless it is to a new life in Christ. The old has gone and the new is there before us. Within us, the new life in Christ. Now, when Jason and I bought our first house, we were so excited to have a blank canvas before us. We got the keys 9 months before we got married, and we thought we had plenty of time to renovate this house and move in on our wedding day. That wouldn't be stressful at all, would it? Preparing for a wedding, renovating a house, and working full time. We thought we got it all worked out. There was a plan and we knew what we needed to do. We knew what there was, or so we thought, before us. So the collection of the keys was a new beginning for us. But as we began to strip away the old in the hope that we would be able to simply put in the new, more and more things revealed themselves to be done. The kitchen was actually infested with mice. It was rotten. The taps actually fell down the back of the sink as we turned it on. And how we hadn't noticed this before in our excitement. The boiler was condemned. The toilet was leaking. And it was an upstairs toilet, so it came through the ceiling. Beautiful picture, isn't it, I'm painting of this house. Artex apparently isn't designed to be removed. And as for wood chip, I never want to see it again. The old eventually came off with a lot of hard work, and gradually the new went on. But it was really, really hard work, and it took a lot of determination and a lot of staying focused on the goal. And we did eventually move in, and most of it was done. But when we come before God, raised with Christ, setting our hearts and minds on him, the journey's not always going to be as simple as taking off the old and putting on the new. But as we draw closer to him, the more he wishes to refine us, to shape us, and to mould us so that we can become more and more Christ-like. Day-to-day living in Christ requires us to make sacrifices. Living with him will mean looking closely at our lives. But the results are beautiful as we draw closer and closer to God. So God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Put these on daily. Clothe yourselves in them. Allow yourself to receive forgiveness and be ready to give it to others. And most of all, put on love. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that we, his believers, may have eternal life. God poured his love over us, and when we clothe ourselves in his love, the old is over and the new begins in union with Christ, just as is found in the knowledge of God, that heavenly union which is the centre and the source for all Christians. Amen.